Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about conflicts. We deal with conflicts in all realms of life. We'd like to find out what can we do about them. So be with us. Nitza, please. Yeah, conflicts are something very challenging. When we experience a conflict, we really feel it. And it's something that exists in all of our relationships, starting with the closest relationships, with your spouse, family, children, parents, friends, actually everywhere. And it's a big challenge, because no matter how much we have developed to this day as human beings, as a society, and we've developed different kinds of technologies, to this day, we were not able to reach a technology that connects people in a state of conflict. Meaning, when there's no conflict, and you have a basic kind of communication, there we more or less listen to each other, and it kind of works. But when there is a kind of a conflict happening between two people or more, meaning there are opposite opinions, desires, values, something which does not coincide, then there is a state of conflict. Sometimes it develops into a small dispute, sometimes into a big fight, and sometimes it simply ends the relationship altogether. And this is something very painful. And this is something that touches all of us, and that's why it's so interesting, and this is what we'd like to talk to you about today. So, a few months ago, we had some talks about what a conflict is, and I'll remind you about some of the things that you said. You said that conflict is the basis of life. It happens on all levels of nature, in the still vegetative animate, and also in us human beings. The difference is that in other systems, it happens instinctively, but it develops us, human beings, consciously in order for us to grow and develop as a result. And it's the basis of life, because without conflict, the following degree cannot develop. So I'd like to ask you about a conflict that has already developed and there's already some kind of dispute, because two opposite opinions can never coincide. They can never coincide. If it's really opposite, strong, true opinions, then they can never exist together as if they're one opinion. So what do you do in this state? How can you bridge such a conflict? Is there the possibility to do this? To rise above both counter opinions? To the third thing, for them to complete each other and to give birth to a new thing as a result of their connection. But first of all, we have to understand the conflict comes from the essence of nature, and it's meant to develop everything, even the still, where the still as if does not develop, but it also develops, and it comes through conflicts. In atoms too, you have plus and minus, and they have to get along together by building a certain system between them in which both of them, electrons and protons, positive and negative particles, arrange a certain relationship between them, and this is how they exist. And thanks to that, matter and all our natural elements exist, and the same on the vegetative and animate levels, where the conflicts are the collision between qualities, and they collide all the time in a way that they're all the time developing and are always as if in a struggle, but it's not a struggle. That's how we view it. It's actually looking for how to unite in a wiser, more flexible, more qualitative, stronger way. And when you're saying to unite, you're talking about begetting some third thing. It's not the first or second, it's a third thing. That's how it always is. Suppose we as people, we give birth to children. And that's the third party. And this is how you have to give birth to each and everything as a result of our oppositeness. So this is exactly what we'd like to talk about, because I want to understand, what does it mean to give birth to the next thing? In relationships, it could be between friends, between two or more people. There are mechanisms that are operating usually automatically. For example, in a state of conflict, there is a mechanism called the mechanism of prevention. Meaning, it's possible that one side activates this mechanism, meaning a person doesn't want to feel pain or unpleasantness as a result of this encounter. Then that person becomes introverted, he doesn't state his opinion. That's one kind of mechanism. Another mechanism is restraint. I don't give up my opinion, but I don't immediately respond. I take my time. And there are other such mechanisms. From what I understand, you're talking about something that we're not acquainted with. Right. Because I understand that a man and a woman give birth to a child, but that's something natural. It doesn't come as a result of opposed opinions or something. This is how it is in accordance with the laws of nature, that whether we like it or not, that's how it is. But there are such relations between us, not only between men and women, but also between men and men, and women and women, and between everyone, also between clusters of people, countries, nations, and so on, that there we have to always think, how do we reach an average, the middle line, so it will be the preferable higher result above both of us, and then for it to be worthwhile for us to do it. Meaning, obviously, if there are two opposite forms in nature, they didn't come to fight each other like plus and minus in an atom. But their purpose is to create a new mechanism called an atom. And then those atoms, they connect into molecules and more, and this is how life is created. And if we're talking about people, the same. But people compromise. No, that's not connection. This is exactly what I want to ask. No such thing. It means that we're avoiding the correct realization of counterparts. So, if we're talking about ordinary matter, this I understand. One substance fuses or bonds with another substance, and they give birth to a third different substance, which could be very opposite to themselves. Same with us. A child could resemble his mother or father, or he might have such a blending that he doesn't resemble any of them. Yeah, you're asking where did he come from, because he doesn't look like either of us. But when we're talking about opinions or desires, what does it mean that desires connect and suddenly give birth to another desire, mutual desire? No, it doesn't work that way. This is why you and all of humanity can't grasp the method of connection. The method of connection works differently, where first of all, we annul ourselves. Both of us. Each annuls himself towards the other in order to connect with the other. Each enlarges himself towards the other in order to give the other the greatness of the connection, not the greatness of my opinion. Suppose I have an opinion which is opposite to yours. So first of all, I want to annul myself. I want to get closer to you. I want to be connected with you. To annul myself, what exactly do I annul? Not the opinion. Okay, so I keep the opinion. Yes, what do I annul then? I annul my pride. the desire to be, in any case, I want to reach connection. Connection is above everything, meaning both of us agree to begin with that we're going for the connection. What comes as a result of the connection is not important for us, because the connection is more important for us than anything else. It is as if it belongs to a higher degree, a higher dimension. So I cancel myself towards the future connection. You have to do the same. That's the first thing. The second thing is, I, with all my strength, am trying to pass on to you the importance of the connection that I have. How much I think that connection is the greatest thing, more than my opinion, yours, above everything. It's a degree which is above us, that we have to achieve. So, A, I annul, I cancel myself towards the connection, and also do you, and I towards you, and you towards me, we pass on to each other the importance of the connection. Okay? Then, we pass on to each other the desire to be equal partners inside this connection. Yes. There is no one who's more or less in any way, in any discernments, any form or shape or anything. Equal. This way, we're as if going to connect. But what and how? And here, from nature, we have to evoke a third force that we want for it to control us, because that is a third unknown component. We don't know what it is. There's no way in which we can use it. And then, when we look for that third force from within our connection, and we can talk a lot about these forms of how we prepare ourselves for the connection, we as if want to discover this third form in nature, to discover what we gave birth to as our inner spiritual child. We make the effort to connect because we want to beget something new, and we want for this new thing to be the integration of our opinions and above them, where the connection will be the highest, most important thing. If this is how we try to activate, operate ourselves, we evoke the positive force in nature. Because we, to begin with, as opposed to atoms, exist only as negative parts that reject each other or that want to control each other. We lack the force of connection, and we really have to discover it from the depth of nature. And therefore, we need to aspire, to expect for this force to become revealed and for it to connect us, and for it to allow us to feel that we're reaching the right, good kind of connection, and that it is a new kind of connection that doesn't exist in any one of us, but only as something mutual between us, and that this connection is above us. Of course, above the bodies, above all of our traits, our particular traits that each of us had before, and we start feeling that some new third thing is created here. spiritual result, like our spiritual child. And this is the result from the efforts that we make to connect. And here we start feeling a dimension which is higher than us, higher than our individual ego. And this result is called an upper spiritual degree. Why spiritual? Because man begets here something that doesn't exist in his ordinary corporeal animalistic form. But he has reached the birth of a new degree by his exertion, and not only in him, but also within those around him, as a result of conceding towards others. And so, mutually, we give birth to the following degree for the nation, for all of humanity, if we wish. And this is actually what humanity is calling out for. And really, what happens to my individual opinion? I no longer have an individual opinion. By this, I give birth to my next opinion on a higher degree. Of course, why hold on to my previous individual opinion? It's not part of the animate degree. I was born with it. And I got it specifically in order to concede it and rise to a higher degree. Meaning, I got my previous opinion not in order to give it up in advance, because then I can't reach that mutual thing. And this is actually the reason for which it's forbidden for me to yield my opinion. Right. Because if I do, then there's no foundation on which to build. And also, that previous opinion, it remains, but it remains as a foundation on which we have now built the next degree. And on the next degree, both of us exist as one in the new opinion. And then two become one. And the same goes for other people too, and more people. And we build it as a pyramid on higher and higher levels, where every time two turn into one, and even 10 turn into one, we study it in the wisdom of Kabbalah. It's the matter of the minyan, the congregation of 10. And this is how we reach a state where all of humanity become as the image of the one Adam, one man, where it has a mutual desire, which completely includes the individual desires which have conceded themselves. It means that they made a restriction over themselves and they connected with one another, which means that they have a masach, a screen, and ol chozer, reflected light. And this is how they connect and form a spiritual form called Adam. So, from what I understand, in order to reach this state where we build this third mutual thing, there has to be some kind of a basic consensus to advance towards connection, because the connection is some kind of a sublime value. So in the family, it's a sublime value, so I'm ready to make concessions, or for the sake of my friendship and so on, meaning there has to be some kind of a basic need. Right. So if I take a look at life, what do I see? I see different states. Like suppose in a state of conflict, I see that usually one side is stronger, more ruling, and usually their opinion is what determines. And the other side has to eventually accept their opinion. What can cause the strong party to even think in the direction that the connection is more important than his individual opinion? Because he's in control. Why should he yield? Education, explanation, that there's no other way to exist, but only to develop this way. Just like we develop on the still vegetative inanimate levels, the same form of development has to be on the speaking level. But on the speaking level, we have to do it. Otherwise, there will be no peace, neither in the family, nor in the world, nowhere. And we'll actually all the time live in conflict until we kill each other, and eventually nature will prevail and will force us, nonetheless, to connect according to its formula. If suppose I divide the world into the strong and the weak, they're always interested in reaching a consensus. No, here there's no such thing. Here, the connection is like between two equals. Because the strong can't exist without the weak, and the weak can't exist without the strong. We have to understand that there will never be peace in the world unless they are equally connected. They're equal. It could be that one of them is a small child and the other is a grown-up person, someone who's very poor and someone who's very rich. Towards the connection, it doesn't work, because both of them have to understand that to achieve the next degree of human development, this is something that they can do only if they connect, and the connection can only be if they're equals, each making himself small towards the others, each agreeing from the bottom of his heart, and this is how they achieve connection. Why can't we achieve connection if I subjugate you? It's not connection. You simply conquer me. That's fine if you succeeded. But we see that humanity didn't achieve much as a result. And if we look at history, we can see that all those who conquered something themselves, later on they lose and they themselves become conquered. And what about individual relationships? The same. In every relationship you have someone who's more dominant, the man or the woman or between two friends and so on. If you look at two people, you'll always see that someone's more dominant and the other is weaker. And what does he get as a result? So what's the technology for them to connect? Because the one that's more dominant in one way or another, usually, somehow, he makes it so that his opinion became their opinion, as if, of both of them. As if. I'm saying as if. Why? Because he twisted things somehow. For two people to achieve a higher degree of development, this is something possible only on condition that they're equal. Only on condition that they're equal. That's how it is. Complete equality, where no one's preoccupied with themselves, but cares for the other, and through the other, cares for both of them on a higher level. Why does the other need this equality? He's stronger, because he has to understand from education, from the explanations, that him being stronger now, that's something temporary, and by that he doesn't achieve the secret of life. He doesn't develop in life. So he's stronger, so what? He's in control. What does the stronger person lose as a result? I mean, what does he lose as a result of being entrenched in his opinion, wanting to rule and control? Does he lose anything? Of course, he loses a good, loyal, trustworthy partner that could be connected with them in love and mutual understanding, where each cares for the other. By that, he misses out on the feeling, understanding, development, the opening of the eyes to see into the depth of nature. By that, a person doesn't see the upper force that's operating in the right connection between all parts. We don't understand or feel or discover it. It's the godly force which becomes revealed between all parts of nature, even between atoms, doesn't matter where. If there are particles or desires or intentions or thoughts or opinions that each wants to be connected by caring for the other as for myself. We don't even understand or feel the degrees of the opening of the eyes that we can reach here to see into the depth of nature. And I'm not even talking about that what we feel as a result is love. And this word has a different meaning, a different fulfillment that we don't know from our life. It's where both of them give birth to a new thing, suppose like two particles give birth to an atom, and that atom has a life of its own then. It continues, like when we give birth to a child, and the child has a life of his own, and we live inside of him, and this way we feel that we live eternally through him. Through him, but we're included there. We let go of our previous state, and we keep on living in our mutual state. It's an opening to an eternal dimension. Our time's almost up, but let's try and at least understand what we talked about up till now. We're trying to understand how does the method that helps us overcome two opposite forces work. You have to learn how to make concessions towards each other, on the one hand. On the other hand, to influence the other in order to warm him up towards connection. To connect in a way that there will be neither my opinion nor his opinion, but for both of us, from within the concessions that we've made over our previous basis, we'll look for a third thing, and this third thing that shall be born is our connection and the next degree, and on that next degree we want to find our new intellect and emotions which are mutual, where we don't feel you and me, but both of us together. And this way, by way of pyramid, two into one will advance all the time throughout greater and deeper degrees of the recognition of the inner nature. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. We hope we can discuss this topic again. Thank you very much, Nitza. Thanks for being with us. Till next time, all the best.